HomeWorks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter, too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.
flexibility to kind of ask him that he wants to spread his word and to be like I have now and to bring the Christian values and leadership into the Christian society and make sure that all those who are involved in the other official. I must tell you that our organization that allows us to support his announcement and we can make progress. It's Thank you.
Kevin Michaels, who is with us. He's the co-founder of Cross Properties. They have successfully purchased $250 million of real estate. And he is married. You were married and your honeymoon was canceled back at 9/11?
Unfortunately, it was.
That's something you'll never forget. And you have two beautiful children, Milo and Millie. And although you have quite a successful business, I'd like to go back in time, and I'd like you to share with us a little bit, Kevin, about your relationship with Jesus Christ and how you became a Christian.
Sure. Love to. How would you like to begin?
I don't know. Do we begin out of the womb? Do you want? What's the most exciting part? I mean, were you always a Christian? Did you come from a background? Were you seeking truth at one point in time?
So I grew up in a very organized religion family, if you will. We certainly attended church every Sunday. Though strangely, as soon as we got into the car, the sinning was beginning. It was a pretty, you know, oppressive upbringing with my parents that, you know, many years later I've been able to reconcile with them. But I guess I was exposed to a religious God for all of my young life. It wasn't until fast forward in 2002 when I was brought to my knees through a series of events that God came off the altar and met me, and it became very real to me. I'll give you a little bit more detail on that. In 1993, I moved out to San Francisco. I was a financial advisor for a large financial institution, and this little company called Netscape went public, and the internet was born in front of my eyes. And there were lots of zillionaires running around saying, can you help me? And of course, I rolled up my sleeves and did my best to help manage all their financial affairs. And I told them to sell early and sell often. And nobody wanted to listen because they thought that the stock would just grow to the moon. And kind of relevant because I think it's part of the condition of man to seek more.
Yes.
And more and more. And from a worldly perspective, it can be like drinking from a fire hose. So sadly, most of them lost all of their money because they didn't listen and be sober about the ups and downs of the market. But through that, I was able to benefit greatly financially, and that allowed me to have a vehicle to fuel my wild and crazy lifestyle. So that wild and crazy lifestyle started probably in eighth grade and accelerated each and every year through high school, through college, and then through my early career. I was young. I had a fair amount of success, and the world was my oyster. So whatever I wanted, I could get, and I got in plenty.
And you were looking for satisfaction in those areas.
Yeah.
Fulfillment.
Purpose. I was looking for all of that. I was looking to just simply have a good time, and I thought that that was the meaning of life.
Sure.
Was to enjoy yourself, and in my world, that enjoyment just got more and more, I'll say, dark. And you know, I began to chase my tail, if you will. Mm. Unfortunately, I forget who the multi-zillionaire, well, maybe it was Rockefeller or somebody, asked him, how much money is enough? He said, a little bit more than I have right now. And that was the way I was living my life, is just a little bit more sin, and then I'll find true happiness or joy or meaning. And clearly, the more I did that, the more soulless or the more dark my heart became. So eventually, somewhere along the way, I meet my lovely wife, Whitney, and in 2001, 2001, we got married. Sadly, as you already mentioned, I was jumping on a plane to go to our honeymoon, and that's when planes started crashing in 9/11, and the airports were shut down, and most of my wedding party was nowhere to be. We could not return. So in 2002, 6 months into our marriage, she said that you have to change your life and your lifestyle, or I will leave you. This is, you know, 6 months into our brief marriage, if you will, and so we decided to start going to church to figure out how to live a different life. And we went to the church that I grew up in, and we went to other kind of different walks of life churches, and as I called hers, the rock and roll church. And I was looking for the pomp and circumstance and the incense and the genuflections and all this stuff that I knew. And it certainly wasn't where she was going. And, but nonetheless, her choice won. And we crawled into this church on our knees, broken, busted, both individually and collectively as a couple. And, my dear friend who, as I mentioned to you, I'm in D.C. at the National Prayer Breakfast, he's here today, named Sung Cho, was the first person I met, and I saw his smile. And he embraced me and hasn't let go since. And the way I explain it is I follow him because he's following Christ.
Beautiful.
And I began to learn and understand a better way to live, a different way to live, a way to live selflessly for the Lord, you know, dedicating my life to him versus dedicating it to me and my selfish tendencies. So fast forward, you know, my wife goes from get out to come on in. And over the probably the following year, we began a reconciliation process in our marriage. And I remember going to church, and week after week, we would just weep in our brokenness and in our restoration as God was reaching into our hearts and just restoring us and replacing all the idols that we've created with him. And it was a very tender moment, I remember, when her father came in from Florida and sat next to us in the church, worshiping God together, a moment that he prayed for 32 years for his daughter's life, came to realization in that particular moment. And you know, I have two wonderful children, and I pray for them the way this man prayed for us. And I look forward to having that moment when my kids look me in the eyes and say, I get it, and I want to follow you the way you're following him. And that would be my prayer for certainly anyone with children and anyone on God's green earth.
I hear you,
Sam. That may have been long-winded, but hopefully you get the sense of this cataclysmic change that has occurred in my life. That was brought upon by following the world's ways, searching for meaning, searching for hope, searching for a peace that transcends understanding, never finding it in the bar or a brothel, and finally finding it in a church and in a community of people that have genuinely loved me for who I am and whose I am. And it has been a joy and a turnaround. You know, he talks about restoring what the moths have eaten. That has occurred very loudly in my life. And one funny thing is some people will leave, I'm leaving out a lot of the juicy details here to make this a PG version. But a lot of people will come to me and say, wow, that's such a fascinating story. And it's this Hollywood, you know, crash and burn story that that we can write a movie about. As I look at my two sweet little children, that would be the last thing I would hope for them. You know, I pray that they grow up in our Christ-like family and are able to avoid all the nonsense and the temptation that I had to
endure
to be brought to my knees. How much better would it be that they avoid that and find that relationship with Christ as early as possible to enjoy his presence for as long as possible.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And enjoy all of his influences and positive and being other-oriented instead of sucking the life out of people and things. And then finding that there's only destruction at the end of that path. But I love that your story of redemption, and you've used that word, that I want people to hear that God fixes families. God fixes relationships. He wants to do that. That's the business that he is in. And he's the best one to do it. Right, Kevin?
My marriage is stronger than ever. It has been an amazing restoration and reconciliation. It has been a testimony to God's love, to God's power. And my wife and I are grateful for it each and every day. And I think it's because we went, I'm going to say we went to hell and back. That certainly wasn't the case. But we went through the fire through a very difficult time. And it was only our brokenness and our humility where we had nothing left but to cling to Jesus that was able to restore us. And you know, I think you can be in marriage and kind of do marriage for 50 years in a row, but never have that love and sweetness that Jesus can provide to you.
That he wants us to have. He wants us to have that in marriage.
And he wants us to have. And, you know, unfortunately or fortunately, we had to go through a very wicked trial that almost destroyed us in order to see that and get that and embrace that and desire that each and every day so that we don't have to go back there again.
Let's talk about 32 years of prayer. So we should not give up on prayer. Praying for that one child, praying for that son-in-law.
Really, absolutely. What a testament of his faith. And, you know, I look at my children and I can feel like many times my love is conditional. If you do the right thing, I'm going to adore you. If you do the wrong thing, I'm going to have an issue with it. Or my love is conditional. And certainly God's working in my life too. Change that and to shape me to the father that he wants me to be, and he's obviously given us a great model. Her father in particular, to be able to love her through all of that, to be able to take those midnight calls and to say he loves you because he is love,
mm-hmm.
and I love you because I'm following him.
Mm-hmm.
Let me tell you about his love. And over, year after year, getting those calls and not breaking hope, and not breaking his gaze on God, and believing in his promises and believing in that hope, I think, you know, was clearly deep in the heart of her father, and was a great example and a model for me to consider as my children grow up and begin to learn about the world and its ways and in a better way.
Okay, so let's talk about now you're following Jesus Christ. You have this best friend with whom you're down in D.C. actually at this moment. Who's speaking at the National Day of Prayer? Who's
right.
Do they have speaking there? I'm asking you.
Do you even
know? Ben Carson's been before. Eric Metaxas has been before.
I was here when Ben Carson spoke. It was a big shot from NASCAR.
Okay.
Unfortunately, I did not attend, and quite frankly, I mean, there's, I don't know how many thousand people down here from every continent and country represented. And the reason I love it is I've shared with my staff, I said, sometimes it's very helpful to climb to the top of the tree and to look out.
Yes.
And in this case, I've climbed to the top of this tree and I'm looking out and I'm seeing what God is doing in the lives of people throughout the world. I can get very myopic. In our little business in Philadelphia and say this is the beginning and middle and end of God's sovereignty is, you know, in my zip code 19063. And when I come here, I see people of all walks of life, all shapes, all sizes, all colors. And it's not a what denomination are you
mm-hmm.
and do you believe in this or that. It is how do we love the world
mm-hmm.
the way Jesus showed us.
Yes.
And for that, it's it's freeing, and it's also it just gives me a much broader picture of the sovereignty of God and what he's doing around the world with his 7 billion children.
I love it. Let's talk about who came alongside of you. Did you have men? So you're a businessman who's making tons of money, but you're going down the wrong path. I mean, I am politically incorrect here. I'm going to say you're going down the wrong path.
Yes.
You come to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. You want to know who this person is. But are you able to connect with other businessmen that can show you what it is like to show Christ in the business world?
So I read a little bit on Wikipedia. It's very difficult to find out what, I'm going to answer your question indirectly and then directly. What exactly is the National Prayer Breakfast, National Day of Prayer, and sort of when it started and by whom? But I think it's been around for 50 or 60 years, and it's always attempted to be very loose, and nobody owns it and controls it, because when man starts to own and control things, it can be very distorted, and all of a sudden it becomes a brand that can be marketed, and, you know, it reduces Jesus to, you know, a UPC code. But somewhere in that, I believe there was an offshoot called the Christian Businessmen's Group, which was a vehicle for men in the business community to be able to get together and talk about how to walk out their faith in the United States, in capitalism, where profit is the only thing that matters. And I guess I'd spin on words and say, in the Christian Businessmen's Group, it was the prophet of Jesus. He's the one that matters. You know, obviously spelled differently, and a spin on words there. But it was, for the first time, it was a small group for me where I was able to get together with men and talk about life, not only in my home life, but in my business life. How do you make those tough decisions? How do you toe that line of integrity and still thrive? And how do you trust God that he's going to provide, even when the world will tell me that this is the wrong decision, that the right decision is either more profits or profits in a distorted way for the sake of my glory, instead of trusting him, the being that created planet Earth and all of its stars and universes and children, that he could actually find a way to work within the confines of business to profit myself and my family and my staff in the right way. And folks, like, as I shared with you already briefly, your father was a tremendous influence. He was one of the men that spoke into my life. He was there as I transitioned business from financial advisor to real estate. He was there when I transferred from San Francisco to Philadelphia. He was there when we had our first child. And he was there when I started my own company. And we did spend a fair amount of time of what I would call kind of Christianity 101, where he shared scripture with me. He shared the hope that he had. I, of course, met your mother and yourself and some of his other children, and saw that this is a man who was not just reading it and not living it, but reading it, loving it, living it, and the proof is in the pudding, you know, passed it down to the next generation so that when he meets the Lord, the Lord will say, well done, good and faithful servant.
Yes.
Well done, Roger, for loving it, living it, sharing it, not only with his children, but with men like me who wanted to soak it up. Tell me more. How do you do this? Why does God do that? And was able to speak into my life. And that was the first time I had what I would consider a mentor. In this case, it was called a Paul-Timothy relationship, where I was Timothy and your father was Paul.
Mm.
And since then, you know, certainly other men in that group, the dear friend I'm with down here in D.C., Sung was the first man that I met when I walked into the church. and he just smiled and embraced me and hasn't let go, and I've continued to follow him. I'm also here with my friend Matt, who's been a great influence in the way he loves his wife and his five boy children. Mm. And so I was, Carla, I replaced a lot of my friends who were taking me down a very different path. And now I'm locking arms with men that love the Lord, that want to follow him, that want to follow him not only on Sundays, but want to live it out each and every day in the work life, in their home life, and have placed that as the most important thing in their lives instead of how much money do you have, how much money do you make, and profits over anything mm-hmm. at any cost.
Mm-hmm. Well, and I'll share with you that you know that my father is probably one of your biggest fans, and that you have said that he really influenced you and pushed you closer to Jesus Christ. But what's so interesting, I think, that my dad will tell you is that he gets re-energized and encouraged by discipling and walking alongside of you as well. So, I know that he just thanks God for you and your testimony and your family, you know, often. So let's talk about Cross Properties that you started that I believe God is blessing probably before, way above and beyond any of your expectations, Kevin, which is what Ephesians 3:20 tells us. It says that God will do exceedingly abundantly above anything that we can expect according to the powers, the Holy Spirit that is inside of us. So can you share a little bit, like, did you immediately have a vision for Cross Properties? And I know that you have opportunity to pray with employees or pray before, but for other Christian businessmen that are listening to you, what advice can you give to them about bringing Christ into the workplace?
Well,
because it might not be talking about it all the time. It just might be your how you live it out loud.
Well, it started with... In 2010, when I started the company, the real estate market was in a nosedive, and I was working at a particular company that was going through tough times and had to start laying off people, and they started at the top and were working their way down. I was somewhere in the middle, and so I had a little time to start thinking of, okay, before they catch me, where's my next move? And I started to assemble a team and started to look for deals in what I would call a side job, if you will, and I called the company Cross Properties. And there was a particular day in March of 2010 that I made an offer to buy a property in my side job at 7 a.m. at a hotel in Philadelphia, and then I went at 9 a.m. to my 9-to-5 job. And at 5 p.m. that same day, they called me in and they fired me. So within one day, I made an offer on what's now a $40-plus million deal, and it was accepted. And 8 hours later, I was fired from that company. So, you know, when you ask for a sign from God, be careful, because sometimes it gives you exactly what you want. And it was very clear in that day that my second chapter was over and my third chapter was about to begin. And that synchronicity, if we're paying attention, happens all the time. And in that particular day, it was very evident to me that God was on the move and he was in this new adventure that I was about to go through. This was, my incredible wife here has seen me go from financial advisor to real estate at the bottom, then, you know, starting my own company, going from no kids to two kids, going from San Francisco to the suburbs of Philadelphia. And she's, you know, stood by me through thick and thin, riding this bucking bronco. And you know, it certainly has kept us closer to each other and closer to the Lord, because it has been a ride. It has been a joy. It's what I say, it gets me going in the morning, but keeps me up at night. We have, as you mentioned already, we have fast forward, you know, within the 5 years, we've purchased $250 million worth of real estate I started with next to nothing. I can't. The beauty of that is I can't possibly take any of the credit.
It's a miracle. You know, I mean, I didn't even realize that your company was only 4 years old.
Yeah, I can't possibly take the credit because it's supernatural. The success that we've had is far beyond anything I hoped or imagined, and I know that that's exactly scriptural as coming out of my mouth. And exceedingly abundant kindness. And we have an equivalent amount of deals in the pipeline right now, which could essentially double our company in the next 12 months. Now, that's all the good news. The challenge is each and every day I need to show up and make sound decisions, ones that would honor the Lord, not only in my dealings with my business partners, but the rest of my staff, vendors that I interact with on a day-to-day basis, the political community that I interact with on a day-to-day basis, my investor base. How do I walk that out with integrity and forthrightness and kindness? One of the policies that my business partner and I say regularly is we're lovers, not fighters, meaning we're not interested in having huge egos and jamming our agendas down people's throats. We are interested in creating harmony to the greatest extent possible. And that's not always easy, but that therein lies the challenge in the way I get to walk my faith out. And I do believe that God has blessed it. And Carla, it's only at times like this where I climb to the top of that tree and I look back and say, wow, what an incredible journey we've been on. On a day-to-day basis, when I'm living it, it can be hard. And there's been plenty of sleepless nights, both for, myself and my wife. And I've spoken to your father about this, who had his own business, who again was an inspiration in starting a business, which, isn't a complete adventure in faith.
Yes. Would you want to embark on this adventure in faith holding anybody else's hands other than God's?
I tried that. I already tried that, during the first phase of my life in business. And, I would argue that I was holding the hand of the enemy those first 10 years in the world of financial advising. And that enemy, told me that a little bit more is going to be better, and a little bit more, and a little bit more. And he continued to lie to me each and every day. And the only place that led me was into death, destruction, debauchery, and ultimately, thankfully, redeemed by falling to my knees and crying out, saying, God, if you're there, I need you. I need, there has to be a better way. One thing actually I didn't mention, Carlo, the benefit or the beauty of what I get to do every single day is a lot of what we do is we buy old buildings and we bring them back to life. We just finished up a project. We bought a 25-story office building in downtown Philadelphia that was built in the 1920s. It used to be Sun Oil's headquarters. The Pews used to have their corporate offices on top, and Mr. Pugh had his apartment and his safe where he stored all of his earthly treasures on the tippy top of the building. And we're finishing right now. We bought an old seminary, and we're converting that to residences on the mainline suburbs. That too was built in the 1920s as a first class hotel. And so there is this aspect of resurrection and restoration that I feel through my fingertips each and every day, physically, literally, through my work of taking these old things and carving out the bad stuff and celebrating the good stuff and bringing it back to life. And that is such an expression of what God has done in my life, and I get to do it each and every day in real estate.
Kevin, I think on that note, we're going to end. Kevin Michaels, who is the co-founder of Cross Properties here in Philadelphia, thank you for sharing your heart with us this morning. If we want to check out Cross Properties, do we go to crossproperties.com?
A little shorter, crossprop.com.
Crossprop, P as in Paul, R-O-P as in Paul, .com. God bless you, and thank you for joining us.
God bless you, Carla. Thank you.
You're the God of this. Hope Rescue Mission is a sponsor of Your Family Matters. For 121 years, Hope Rescue Mission, located at 645 North 6th Street in Reading, has provided a daily safe haven while ministering to the spiritual, physical, and emotional needs of the homeless in Berks County. We share the hope that can only be found in Christ, transforming the lives of those in need. Our programs feed, house, clothe, and guide men so that they experience a better quality of life. Over 10,000 square feet of thrift stores are located directly behind the mission, which is open on Mondays through Fridays from 8 to 5 and Saturdays from 8 to 4. We invite you to stop by and shop our large selection of gently used furniture, clothing, and homeless items as you support Hope. We're pleased to accept your donations of any of these items. Contact us at 610-375-4224 to arrange for a pickup at your home or business. Since the costs needed to operate and care for these men continues to grow, your support and continuing partnerships are so greatly appreciated. We receive no outside or government funding as we strive with the Lord's guidance and direction to restore those who seek our help to lead upright and productive lives. Please keep Hope Rescue Mission in your thoughts and prayers as we serve those in need during this harsh winter. Again, thank you, Hope Rescue Mission, for being a sponsor of Your Family Matters.
Homeworks Premium Thrift is a shopping experience unlike any other. Browse our 12,000 square foot store for gently used selection of clothing, shoes, books, kitchenware, home decor, furniture, appliances, and more. We offer free pickup of large loads and large items such as furniture and appliances. We are located in Douglasville on Route 422, and we are open Monday through Friday, 9:30 to 6, Saturday, 9:30 to 4:30, and closed on Sunday. Visit us at homeworkspremiumthrift.org. Like us on Facebook. We hope you'll stop in and check us out. You'll be glad you did. We help you help others.
Your furry family members matter too.
Hi, we're Gordon and Sue Kriebel, owners of Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a family-owned business located on Main Street in the Trap Shopping Center. It's a family experience at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, one you won't get at chain and grocery stores. You'll find a distinct difference at Perk Valley Pet Eatery, a difference in quality and in our natural approach to your pet's care. You may not be aware of better options for your pets. So come in and discuss your pet's nutritional needs and health. Our knowledgeable hands-on staff will be happy to help you learn what's best. We've been your leaders in pioneering pet nutrition and part of our community since 2003. Come out and support our local family-owned business. We'd love to meet you and your pets.